But here we are at the beginning of a new year. It's always exciting, isn't it, to kind of have a new start, a new opportunity to kind of reignite and recalibrate our lives. Sharon and I are kind of moving into our fourth year with you here at Central. We want to thank you for the journey. Thank you for the friendship. And it's just new years are always exciting. New years are time to do an internal review of life and where we're at and how things are going along. Can you imagine what life would be like if we didn't have New Year's? I mean, can you imagine what life would be like if we just moved along day after day after day and we never had that new year? It's interesting that our calendar system is the Gregorian calendar system that was began back in 1582 by Pope Gregory XIII. He initiated for us or brought into being the Gregorian calendar, which is our calendar year. Before that, we were walking under the Julian calendar. And that was the calendar when we have the various months that are laid out for us. And by the way, the month of January was dedicated to the god Janus. The god Janus is all about new beginnings. He's the god of gateways. He's the god of beginnings. So, you know, wherever your head's at on that, you know, it's not a big deal, but just so you know, we have the word January, the year starting, named after a god. But prior to when the Gregorian calendar year came into being, it was definitely influenced by Christendom. And when the Gregorian calendar year came into existence, they determined that January 1st would come into play based off of the birth of Jesus Christ and his eighth day of being named, okay? And so it's rather interesting. We could say that our January 1st comes directly from Jesus Christ and his naming, his new naming. And so I kind of want to play off of that for a second and ask you, would you like a new name in 2018? Would you like to be renamed? Would you like to have a rebirth? Would you like to begin new? Would you like to begin fresh in your journey? I hope you do. I certainly do. But New Year's give us a new opportunity for a new start, to rethink, recalibrate, and so forth. So how about we seize upon this opportunity? Let's seize upon it. Let's start something fresh. Let's start something new in our hearts. And my message today is focused around the idea of not wasting our lives in 2018. Let's not waste them. Let's use them for the glory of God. And I don't think any of us would go around ever saying, I want to waste my year this year, right? None of us would go around saying, I want to waste my life. The whole health industry banks on the fact that you're ready to turn over a new leaf. You're ready to retune up your body. You're buying some exercise gear. You go on that diet, perhaps. All of those things you've been putting off for so long. Why? Because we don't want to waste our bodies. We don't want to waste our time. We want to do something with our lives in a special way. And as Christians, this is a great time for us to take a look at our lives and ask ourselves, how am I doing at living out my Christian life? Are there any course corrections that I need to take? It's the perfect time to ask the question, what's the meaning to my life? Where am I going? You ladies are going to have an opportunity on Tuesday evenings to step back into the purpose-driven life. You'll be, again, being reminded of what is our purpose and where are we going. And a verse that I want to start off with this morning, the verse that is really going to be the focus of our morning, is found in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or we'll have it on the screen behind me. This is what it says in that scripture. It says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." And so this morning, you are part of one of two groups this morning. Either you're a Christian in this room, or God is now calling you to become one. You're part of two groups. You're either a Christian in this room, or you're here because God is calling you to be one. After all, you would not have left your home, you would not have gotten in your car, you would have not walked through the doors of this church if that were not the case. You're not here by accident today. And if you're a Christian, we need to remind ourselves that we're not our own. Christ bought us at a price for his own death. We're doubly God's. In other words, he made us and he bought us back from a life of sin. So that means our life is not our own. Our life is God's. The Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body. God made you for that purpose. That's the meaning of your life, to give glory to God. The Bible is crystal clear on it. Look at what it says in Isaiah 43, 6 through 7, where the Bible says, "Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." You see, life is wasted when we don't live for the glory of God. All of life is wasted when we don't do that. And let's get down to the nitty-gritty facts and remember that every single thing, whether even we eat or whether we drink, it should be done to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." You realize that we waste our lives when we leave God out, even of our drinking and our eating. We waste our lives when we leave God out of all of the things, whatever we do in life. And so what are those whatever we do's? Well, what is it that we do every day? You wake up in the morning and you get your coffee, perhaps. You shower, you put on your clothes, you go to work or school, you stay at home perhaps and take care of the kids, you do laundry, you clean dishes, you make beds all day perhaps, you call a friend or two, you eat lunch with a buddy or with a girlfriend, you play a sport, you read a book, you go on a hike, you take a bike ride, you visit the gym, you eat with your family, you watch TV, you look at your computer, you read a bedtime story to your children, you say a prayer with your spouse, you lie in your bed thinking, you fall asleep, and then you get up and you do it all over again. Those are the whatever you do in life. And the Bible says, give God glory and do it all to the glory of God. Not only is it possible, we are exhorted to do that. And I don't know about you, but I oftentimes forget to glorify God in all the things that I do. It isn't easy to glorify, it is easy to glorify God on Sunday, but do we glorify God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? It's easy to glorify God when I do my short devotion. But do I glorify God when I get in my car, when I do my work, when I do all the things I do? We say Sunday is the Lord's day. The rest of the week are my days. On Sunday, I'll glorify God. On Monday through Saturday, I want to glorify me. But God doesn't see it that way. You see, he made us so that we would glorify him every day in all of our ways. And I want to define this term for us this morning. What does it mean to glorify God? What does that word even mean, to glorify God? Some say it means that we should make him beautiful. So all the world will see him. But you know what? God doesn't need us to make him beautiful. He's beautiful. He already is. What glorifying God means is to magnify him. And we can try to magnify God in two ways. We can try to take a microscope and make a teeny weeny puny little God and try to make him bigger so the world will see him. But that doesn't do God any justice, because God is not a teeny weeny puny little God. Or magnification, really what it means is we take a telescope. We can magnify God like we would take a telescope to the heavens. What happens when we take the telescope up into the stars? What's huge becomes clear to our eyes. What's beyond our wildest imaginations becomes something that now we can see with greater clarity. And that is what magnification, that is what glorifying God is, taking this awesome, amazing, wonderful God and magnifying him in our lives in such a way that this world can start seeing how big and awesome and mighty he is. Everything we do should be done to help people gain a clearer focus of God. Everything we do should radiate the love of God. Everything we do should cause people to pause and wonder, who is this amazing God that we worship? Bob brought us a wonderful message last week, a challenging message. He challenged us to be on a compassion mission, a mission of compassion. He challenged us to live compassionate lives. He challenged us as a church to find whatever ways are possible to show compassion and love to people. For this is how Jesus lived his life, and therefore we should follow in his footsteps. Excellent reminders, excellent teaching. But you need to understand something. If our mission is to be compassionate people only, then what makes us any different than the Elks Club? What makes us any different than the Shriners? What makes it any different than the number of organizations that I meet with every month around Polk County, agencies that are out to help people, touch people, care for people? What makes the church any different from any other compassionate group out there? Could it be that being compassionate becomes our idol? So that we get the glory, we get the recognition, we get the accolades, we become recognized as kind people, our church becomes recognized as a compassionate church. Is that the reason for why we are a compassionate people? So that we somehow can get the recognition? Or even maybe we do it because we do care for people. We do love people. That's an admirable reason. But folks, we're going to stumble over this if we're not careful. We must ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Is it because it will make us cool? It will make us liked? It will make us more important? Do we do it because we want to help people? Yes. Or do we do it to the glory of God? That's an entirely different motivation. Why are we asking you to bring tents and tarps and flashlights and new underwear and new socks? Why are we asking you to do that? Bring it here to the church this month and give it to the homeless? Is it so somehow we can toot our horn and we can say, hey, look at what our church is doing. Look at how great we are. Or these people need these clothing. They need it to keep them warm. We want to do something kind to them. That's noble. But wouldn't it be better to approach it this way? We want you to bring your tents, and we want you to bring your sleeping bags and your tarps and your flashlights and batteries and new underwear and new socks, because we want to bring glory to God. We want to bring glory to God. We want to magnify Him. We want all who come and all who participate and every person that takes that new pair of socks to know that God loves them and He is a loving God and He is a caring God. You see, it makes all the difference in the world. Why do we have a men's chili feed here at the church? Is it so all of us men can somehow brag about our chili making skills? So we can get the trophy. So we can express to the community, what a cool church we are. Man, they're having a chili feed down at the church building. Isn't that great? They're just such a fun-loving group of people down there. No, we do it to bring glory to God. We want God to be magnified. We do it to draw people together so we can give honor and glory to the one who made us, equipped us with skills to whether we can eat or cook or whatever we do. We gather in the glory, in the name of the glory of God of heaven. And hopefully, by now you're starting to understand, as we start the new year, as you begin your new year, ask yourself, are any of the things that I do in life, whatever I do in life, if I get up in the morning and have my coffee, if I send my kids off to school, when I go to work, when I play on the playground, when I read a book, am I doing it so that I can somehow improve my life and grow in my life, or am I doing it for the glory and the honor of God? It's a question we need to be asking ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For me to live is Christ." Can you say that about your life in 2018? For me to wake up in the morning, I want to honor Christ. For me, when I go to work in the morning, I want to be honoring to Christ and glorify Him. The Bible says, "Do your work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Colossians 3:23. Can you determine right now that your work is going to be done to honor God in this new year? When you drive to work in the morning, can you pray, "God, when I get to work today, I want to glorify You." And how I act, how I do my work, I want You to get the glory. When you love playing sports and you love watching your kids play sports, can you stop right now and ask yourselves, why are sports such an important part of our lives? Is it so that we can enjoy the laughter of watching our kids play sports, that we can somehow gain a sense of satisfaction that we're raising children who are excelling at sports? Or can we say this, as a family, we're going to sit down and say, if we're going to play any sports this year, if we're going to be involved in any leagues, if we're going to participate in any aspect of it, we say to our kids, "Kids, you are on the forefront of being able to say, we want to glorify God as we use our bodies and as we play our sports. We want people who watch us to see God magnified in us." You see, that's a whole different perspective. Those of you who spend time sitting in front of your computers in social media groups, could you decide from now on in 2018 that every time you click on Facebook or Instagram or some other social media port, that the intent of the words that we type and the things that are putting out there is to give glory to God? And for the honor and the glory of God. Can any of us imagine what would happen if all of us in this room decided that our actions and deeds this year would be to the glory of God? What would happen? How life would change? John Piper writes these words in his book, Don't Waste Your Life. This is what he writes. He says, "We waste our lives when we do not pray and think and dream and plan and work towards magnifying God in all spheres of life. God created us for this, to live our lives in a way that makes Him look more like the greatness and the beauty and the infinite worth that he really is. In the night sky of this world, God appears to most people, if at all, like a pinprick of life in a heaven of darkness. But he created us, and he called us to make him look like what he really is. This is what it means to be created in the image of God. We are meant to image forth in the world what he is really like. How can you and I enlarge God to the world around us in 2018? You say, Pastor Dan, I want to. I really want to, but you know how life is, Pastor Dan. It's complicated. It's full of ups and downs, various cravings. It's loaded with stuff that we all have to deal with every day. So, yeah, Pastor Dan, I want to enlarge God. I want to glorify him. But the reality is life just has a way of stealing my passion and my hopes and desires for God. Yeah, the robber of praise and our passion for God is hard at work. The robber is doing everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take away from you and take out of your life anything that would glorify God. He would love to insert into your life anything that would cause life to focus on you and me and us. So there are a couple steps we can take. A couple steps we can take in the right direction. Number one, say a prayer. Say a prayer to God this morning, admitting your weakness at the same time your desire to change this year. Pray towards change. Pray towards change. Philippians 3, 13 through 14 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, folks, it's only in our pressing forward, putting the past behind us. Okay, 2017 didn't turn out quite like you'd hoped it would. Maybe there are still things in your life that are a mess and things aren't in place where they ought to be, but the only thing that we can do and should do is to pray and press forward to having victory in Christ Jesus. And I want to just say this, there is a blessing in the pressing, okay? There is a blessing in the pressing. Press on. If you're still living in the past and you've just decided to throw up your hands and say, I'm not sure I can press on any longer, then I would say to you this morning, your relationship with God is wavering. Don't let it. Don't let it waver. Fight for what you know is right and how you ought to live and how you ought to think. Remember your goal this day and forward is to press your way through and don't look back. Stay in the race. Pray for God to begin to change your heart and give you the ability to start glorifying him in your work, in your play, in your actions, in your eating, in your all the things that you're doing. Bob's reminders last week ring true. We need to pray together, as he said. We need to pray for one another, and we must be in God's Word together. If we're not in the Word, then we will get lost in the world. Let me say that again. If we are not in the world, in the Word, then we will get lost in the world. We know that to be true. You simply cannot glorify God in everything you do and then put your Bible on a shelf somewhere. You simply can't do it. Can you imagine an NFL football player signing up for a team and choosing not to look at the playbook? I mean, that'd be ridiculous. Can you imagine a musician who becomes a part of a symphonic orchestra and then sets aside his musical score and decides to just go at it on their own? Why, that'd be absurd. Can you imagine an astronaut who's put on a mission to rotate the Earth, but then chooses to forego reading the instruction manuals and learning what the mission is all about? Yet God has called you and I to the greatest mission on this planet, to glorify Him in all that we do. And so, will we pick up His instruction manual, the roadmap to the life that He has given to us? Why not set a goal this year of getting into a routine of opening God's Word, listening to His voice as He speaks to you? How about getting into a small group with other believers? We have our small group sign-up sheets on the back. Why don't we have that table covered with people saying, I want to get with other people. I want to study the Word with other people. I want to grow together. I want to get with some guys and just form a little group, a network of guys, and we're just going to read through a book of the Bible together. Ladies, we're going to get together and we're going to study the purpose-driven life, or we're going to study the Daniel Project, and we're going to learn together and we're going to look at the Word. How can we grow in our prayer and our purpose in life? Psalms 119, 105 says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. You want clear direction? You want clear thinking for 2018? Of course you do. Of course you do. So we get into the Word and we pray hard. We pray with diligence. We pray with passion. And we seek God in all of this. Some people may say, but it's time for me to start coasting. I'm past my prime, Pastor. I've done my service to God. I just need to spend my last 20 years relaxing. I mean, I've worked all my life. I've given everything I've had, and I deserve to coast. I deserve to just simply go into my twilight years and sip some tea somewhere and enjoy a beautiful sunset. I did my time, Pastor. If you've ever had those thoughts, you're not alone. And by the way, that's the message of this world, isn't it? Do your time, but it's all for the purpose of so that you can end your life just coasting. Have your dream spot, dream place, sip your whatever, and just enjoy your final years. You're only here for a short time, so figure out a way to live it up. Well, the stories of Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards should help us rethink this for a moment. Ruby and Laura were missionaries in Cameroon, West Africa. Ruby, single all of her life. Laura was a widow. They both were best friends, and they both were killed instantly when their brakes failed and their car plunged over a cliff. Both of them were 80 years old. And were serving in a medical clinic, assisting doctors, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Was it a tragedy how they died? Was it a tragedy? Two lives, driven with a passion to serving others to the glory of Christ, 20 years after many of their counterparts had all left the mission field, all come back to America, sipping their iced teas, sitting on the coast, enjoying their final years, looking at sunsets. No, the loss of their lives was not tragic, because Mark 8:35 says, whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. You see, they were living their full 80 years for the glory of God. I want to tell you, though, what a tragedy does look like and how two people can literally waste their life away. There's a young couple that Sharon and I know. They served with us in a church. They were participants in the ministry. He was our children's leader. She was one of our leaders. Loving Jesus. few years back, we got word from this young couple. Decided to throw everything to the wind. Hop on an airplane. Their goal of their life is just to see everything in this world that it has to offer them. See the world, experience the cultures, say goodbye to their lives invested in serving others. They determine that their life, that life itself is too short not to go out and live it up. So off they've gone. I can follow their blogs. And you know what disappoints me the most are how people are responding to their life? As they're telling people this, they're saying to people, you guys need to live life a little bit more. You need to think about your lives and do what we're doing. And so people are responding this way to their blogs. They're saying, we wish we could do what you're doing. Our jobs suck. I wish we didn't have family responsibilities. My kids tie me down all the time. I wish I could just throw it all up, and we wish we could go and do exactly what you're doing. Really? Is that the goal? Is that the purpose of our lives? God has a bigger purpose. God has a greater destiny. God has a greater direction. He says, give glory to God in all that we do. Whatever we do. Washing the dishes. Cleaning the toilets. Working as a teacher in the school. Working in the community. Playing with your children. Reading them bedtime stories at night. Whatever we do. Do it to the glory of God. Why? So that he can be enlarged, he can be magnified, he can be glorified, he can be seen in us, and people will respond to what they see. Let's do that for 2018. Let's do that this year. Let's press forward this year. Let's be a church that asks this question, is what we're about to do, is what we're thinking, is everything that we're giving, is it being done to give glory to God, or is it being done to somehow make us feel better, make us look better? Let's do it for the glory of God. Join me in prayer, will you?